Welcome back to Nightside WGN Radio with Mark Caro and Chris Jones.
Yo!
Mayor of Simpleton. No, he's the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel. We do not have him on the phone, but we're going to talk about him and his legacy with the Chicago art scene. Now, I ran into Rahm a lot going to stuff. I go to Los Lobos at Park West, and there he is, or you know, Wilco at the Chicago Theater. He was out and about. Chris Jones, you wrote a column about this. Was Rahm Emanuel a supporter of Chicago's arts?
He was a huge, 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 huge supporter of the Chicago arts. There's no question about that to me. I mean, he would go to, you know, he'd call me up on occasion and say, what should I go and see? And I'd say, well, you should go and see this play. And on Saturday night, you know, he would put down his credit card and he would buy a ticket. He was a big supporter of the dance community. He, you know, I would argue that he was the most art-supporting mayor Chicago has ever had. That's what I would say. Now, you know, I so stipulate that artists are people too, and that they may or may not, you know, you choose a mayor not based on one issue. But in terms of his sort of support of the cultural center of Chicago, the idea that the arts are a sort of key part of Chicago's self-definition, that was very much his thing. And I think it was genuinely a personal passion of the mayor's to go to these, you know, to these events. And not all of them, you know, were promotional. They didn't always make the papers. He was just a regular, really good guy when it came to supporting the arts. And I'd argue he supported the music scene. Like, he did a good thing, I think, with the amusement tax. He took it out of the, you know, the small venues, the Joe's Bar, the Metro, and he sort of put that back on people like the United Center and Broadway in Chicago. So I think he was generally pretty good on that too. I also, you know, I'm sitting here, I truly believe that the Uptown Theater, that deal is pretty much done. The mayor certainly, he said that to me today, actually. He said it's a done deal. That's definitely happening. Now, you might doubt that, but I think that that was an amazing thing, that to actually restore and renovate the Uptown Theater is one of the most important things you could do for the Uptown neighborhood. It's sitting there. It's the
I wrote about that for years. Huge stories on the Uptown and how difficult it was and the amount of money and how they're trying to get.
And he got it done, man.
There was the whole Uptown music scene, entertainment district. It's debatable whether that really happened to the extent that.
Well, I mean, the Uptown's. That's going to be a music venue.
Right, but that's going to be a while down. But in the meantime, just having that happen. Well, anyway, we're going to bring in Jim DeRogatis, veteran entertainment writer, reporter, extraordinaire in Chicago. He's written about this stuff on WBZ's website and Chicago Sun-Times way back when. Jim, you there?
Hey, Jim.
I am. How are you, boys?
We're good. We're good. We're glad you're here, Jim.
So
yeah, you guys were kind of losing the plot there with Burt Reynolds.
Were you a fan of his pillowy lips?
Were you at the Billy Goat before you started the show, or what?
It's the night side. We were thinking of changing the name of the show to Verbal Melatonin.
I know both of you, and I respect you greatly as colleagues, and I hate the Twitter feuds. But you and I did get into it, Chris.
Yeah, we did.
I read the headline of your piece, you know, greatest arts mayor ever. And I just thought, you've lost your gourd, man. You know, Emanuel has been for sale to the big corporations. And the two biggest sins that you sort of agreed with me on, you know, his brother is a one-third owner of Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza has a deal in perpetuity, in exclusivity for Grant Park. And he, you know, his park district made that deal. And he was, a promise in his first campaign was that he would exclude himself from anything that he had conflict of interest in. He appointed the park district. So he had a conflict of interest. He didn't stay out of that deal. And he signed a long-term agreement for Nordley Island, giving that venue to Live Nation in a no-bid contract.
When Jam had it beforehand,
Then Jam developed a plan and then was shut out when it was given to Live Nation with no other bids accepted. And his brother sits on the board of directors of Live Nation. I'm talking about Ari Emanuel, the man who was portrayed, you know, as a character on Entourage.
Right, right.
You know, and I think that those two, the encroaching power of Live Nation, which is only going to grow as they develop these five venues, allegedly, at Lincoln Yards.
Lincoln Yards, right.
You know, and Lollapalooza C3, we have a Texas company partnered with a Hollywood talent agency and with Live Nation Ticketmaster to bring us Lollapalooza. You know, the effect that has on the independent music community, and by that I mean everything from the size of the Hideout to Jam Productions, is devastating. It's like Walmart edging out the mom-and-pop hardware store and grocery store in the neighborhood. And those are exclusive sweetheart deals, which, you know, the Tribune got on the story late. In the last 2 years, they've charted campaign contributions. Part of this $10 million now he's not going to use to run for a third term. you know, they got on the story late, but they did it hard. And I've been on the story for 8 years. And the mayor's never publicly addressed these conflicts of interest with these giant corporations in which his brother has a controlling role. You know, and I think so in terms of supporting, you know, the big art scene, you know, the Goodman and the orchestra and Lollapalooza, yes, but not storefront theater or independent music, Chris. I think, you know, he goes to a Wilco show. Big freaking deal.
So what about, okay, let me ask you this, Jim. Are you not willing to give him some props for actually getting the Uptown done in a way that previous administrations that had gone on, you've written about
I'm not.
It. Everyone in the room has written about it.
Well, Mark and I are experts on it. And look, he made the promise of an Uptown music district before his first term as mayor. He made it during his campaign. And, you know, what we have here is Jam has been desperately trying to raise $85 million to repair that venue. And, you know, he's given them $9 million, you know, of city TIF funding that took, you know, 8.5 years to get. I'm dubious. There's a story was it DNA or, DNA Info yesterday. Now there's going to suddenly be a giant condominium tower across the street by the same developer.
Right, right.
You know, look, man, this guy, this is not... He could have named that an arts district. He could have made it a TIF district. We've lost Shake, Rattle, and Read, the only all-music bookstore in Chicago. And the Green Mill is always suffering. The Riviera could use a boost. The Uptown's been empty. You know, there's not a revitalization of that neighborhood.
But maybe
the Uptown happens and maybe it doesn't.
So what are you saying about that? Are you saying it's not going to... Are you saying here on WGN Radio that you don't believe that's going to get renovated on the timeline that, you know, I outlined in the paper?
Yes.
And so on?
Yes, I have four sources who've told me they're exceedingly dubious because only half the money is there so far. It's a tremendous cost to renovate a theater that dates to the 1920s. Mark, you did an excellent job. I guess it's 4 years ago now.
I wrote about it a few times, but it was because one of the times I went out to Oakland and saw what they did with the Fox Theater out there and comparing, you know, how that really revitalized that neighborhood, which is also called Uptown. But it costs, you know, tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I think it's an $85 million project.
And the question, too, is just, you know, when in Chicago, I mean, you have the Aragon. You don't have a lot. You don't have a lot of places that have that kind of capacity of, what is it, like a $5,000-$6,000 place.
It's in the sweet spot. But you have to put this in the context of a now 15-year fight to the death between Jam Productions and Live Nation.
Right.
Jam is one of only 6 or 8 sizable remaining regional promoters in the United States. Another is in Washington, D.C., Seth Hurwitz of the 930 Club and the Meriwether Post Pavilion. We have Ron Delsner still out in New York, John Scher. You know, but the Live Nation is the Pac-Man, the Walmart, the Microsoft of live music. It has voraciously consumed every small independent regional promoter in the world now because it's a global company. They wanted the Uptown, and Jam swooped in and bought it. But Live Nation has been determined. There was a class action lawsuit 10 years ago now where Live Nation got caught with those infamous emails of the sort that we're seeing now with Judge Kavanaugh, where they said in writing they wanted to crush, kill, and destroy Jam.
Okay, hey, Jim, I'm going to cut you off. Jim, hold on 1 second. I'm getting the absolute, we have to cut to commercial. So do you
don't
mind holding
away.
On for
Hang
a second?
Hang on, don't go
hold
away,
on.
Jim. Come back.
Jim DeRogatis, we will be right back. We got to go to commercial. We're just, we and in our good.
He's just warming up.
We're warming up. All right, we'll be right back on WGN Radio Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Nightside. This is Mark Caro with Chris Jones.
Hey, everybody.
We are discussing Rahm Emanuel's impact on the arts. Thumbs up, thumbs down. We have Jim DeRogatis on the phone with us. And if you want to be on the phone with us, call 312-981-7200 or text us. And let us know what you think as well. Also, if you want to follow us on Twitter and join the argument there, you got at Chris Jones Trib. At Jim DeRogatis, DeRogatis, and I'm at Mark Caro, MarkCaro. So follow us all. So Jim, you're still there, right?
Yep, still here.
Excellent, good. You know, do you think with the Uptown Theater, I mean, that is something that Jerry Michelson has been, it's been a passion project of his for a long time. He's been trying to put this together. I mean, this is something that's helping the Chicago-based promoter as opposed to the Live Nation Walmart.
Yeah, come on,
monolith,
Jim.
Right?
Come on, you got to give this one up.
It has not happened yet.
Right.
Look, the bigger picture is you have a local company that is listed. They're on Goethe Street. We see Jerry Michelson at shows. If you have a problem, right. You can go up to him. You know, Ticketmaster's not even listed in the Chicago phone book. You cannot call if you have a problem. So you have this giant corporation that has said in a court case it wants to crush, kill, and destroy a Chicago corporation. And the mayor's done nothing to foster the local business. He's only made it more difficult. You know, when he came in, he created this mayor's office of music. If you go to small cities like Memphis, Austin, Texas, Detroit, you know, which is bankrupt, New Orleans, which was destroyed by a hurricane, there are vibrant city and state offices that act as a go-between between local music venues and local theater, for that matter, and the big, bad difficulties of the city, because you have building department and electrical and fire codes. You know, this city cracked down with a vengeance after the E2 nightclub disaster in where 22 people died. And they have made it life difficult for small venues ever since. And there is no recourse for these venues to go to the city to say, we're a small gallery, we're a small storefront theater, we are a small music venue, capacity 150 or 200. They are ignored. Their lives are made difficult and right up to the level of Jam.
So what,
you know, we bend over backwards and give Norderly Island to Live Nation, but it's taken 8.5 years and it still hasn't happened for the Uptown Theater to get renovated.
But what about the amusement tax? So did not the mayor, you know, take
out... I think you're completely wrong on that, Chris, because for the first 7 years of Lollapalooza, it did not pay a dime in amusement taxes. Uh-huh. It was $7.5 million a year. It was officially a nonprofit. Can you believe that? Because they partnered with Maggie Daly, the former mayor's
late wife's
favorite charity, the Parkway Organization. It was sold to the city as a nonprofit, and it you know, planted rose gardens, but it didn't pay amusement tax. So then the county board, and it was Bridget Gaynor that led the charge, demanded that they start paying their share of the county amusement tax, which led to them paying the city amusement tax. Right. But my understanding is that any venue under the capacity of like the Riviera Theater or the Vic Theater, which is to say anything under like 1,200 or 1,500, has never had to pay amusement tax. So I think you're wrong about that. Metro never paid amusement tax. The Hideout never paid amusement tax. The Green Mill never paid amusement tax. It's not, he didn't waive it for them.
Would you want the next mayor of Chicago to come in and, if he could, get rid of Lollapalooza? Would that be better for the city?
I think they ought to reopen that deal. for certain, because I think the city, look, there was never an economic impact study. You know, there's all this talk of Lollapalooza's people put out the word, we fill hotel rooms, we fill restaurants, but there was, you know, a legitimate economic impact study looks at the negatives as well as the positives. There are dozens and dozens of music venues that are dark now, many nights of the year, from May through September, because of the impact of these big festivals. And we haven't studied what we're losing in the clubs that are here 365 days a year by what we're gaining for 4 days with Lollapalooza.
But it's not like you could say, okay, Lollapalooza, we put that out for bid, and there are seven different companies who could produce right now Lollapalooza in that same slot at the level that Lollapalooza is actually producing
it. No, but Chris, here's the deal. They don't play nice with the city of Chicago. They have these radius clauses. If you are one of the 300 bands that play Lollapalooza, you are not permitted to play anywhere in the Chicago area for 6 months before Lollapalooza and 3 months after. So that's 9 months of the year. Yeah. And they define the Chicago area as going as far as Minneapolis, Madison, Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. They define it as a 500-mile radius. You know, so what they're essentially doing is trying to build a monopoly.
Right, and they've added all those after-hours, the after-shows at clubs to kind of give the clubs some of the action.
But the after-shows are a sop to the clubs, where they get a piece of the door, and the club owners, who I've spoken to at length, off the record, because they don't want to go on the record, because it's like in the days of the Daily Machine. If you diss the boss in public, you suddenly have three dozen and you pay a price.
Right.
You know, and so what he's doing with the Uptown is at long last throwing a bone to the local producer, promoter, Jam Productions, and they still are, you know, $9 million is a long way away from $85 million. You know, so excuse my skepticism, you know.
It's taken a long time.
They're going to lose the Uptown anyway if this Lincoln Yards development with five additional Live Nation venues goes through. They're going to wind up losing the Uptown anyway because it's going to be driven out of business. And then Live Nation will swoop in, and it'll be one more feather in the Rahm's Brothers cap. I don't think there's ever been, you know, including the first Mayor Daley and his son, who, let's not forget, reigned the MC5 50 years ago last weekend when they tried to play in Lincoln Park to protest the Democratic convention. I don't think there's ever been a less arts-friendly mayor, you know, and I don't care that he went to see Hamilton and then he goes to see Wilco. You know, Wilco.
And he was a ballet dancer. Come on.
Ballet dancer, man. Come on.
Yeah. And his mother owned a rock club in the suburbs. So how he, you know, which is weird. I mean, a woman owning a music venue in the 60s is truly unique. But he does not seem to empathize with the owners of the empty bottle. I have no sympathy.
You have no sympathy whatsoever.
I tried to interview him for 8 years, and he would not talk to me. Instead, he did a puff piece with Mark Conkle, and he's done a lot of, like, I'm the music mayor boasting. But anybody who was going to ask the tough questions, like this relationship you have with Lollapalooza, this relationship with Live Nation, what you're no show, no do nothing mayor's music office. You know, I mean, how is it that Austin and Memphis and Detroit can do a better job interacting with their music communities than the greatest music city in America, which we are, despite his best efforts to thwart that?
Well, I realize you're equivocating here, but
we haven't even gotten to him.
I gotta cut us off. We gotta go to commercial again. We gotta pay the bills because we're not on public radio. I know, Jim. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
for being
Jim.
On. You're awesome. Jim DeRogatis, fantastic reporter. Read him in BuzzFeed News. You can back and read all of his R. Kelly stuff. Google the guy.
Great reporter.
And also follow him on Twitter.
Thanks, Jim.
At Jim DeRogatis. Thanks so much
for
coming
on.
All right, guys.
See you later.
All right.
We will be right back. We're going to the news. We're going to commercial. Then we'll be back.